We welcome you to the Autoimmune Mamas podcast with Teresa and Tiffany.
We wake up every single day with the reality that our lives have been interrupted by autoimmune diseases, but there is no stopping us. We are here as two friends, two mothers, hundreds of miles apart, wanting to share our stories with you. We will talk about our wins, our struggles, and everyday life. Please join us as we take this journey.
Hi, everyone. This is Teresa.
Hey, this is Tiffany.
Hey, Tiffany. How are you doing?
Good. It's good to be back. Thank you for our listeners who responded to the message on Facebook of why we were away for a little bit. That was nice to hear from some people.
Yeah, for sure. So we were away for a little bit because Tiffany has what's called vocal cord dysfunction.
You got it. So I have vocal cord dysfunction. And while I was being assessed for that at my last ENT visit, I knew I had a hemorrhage in my vocal cord. It was small in April. They reassessed last month, and it's not small any longer. So it's large enough that they put me on complete vocal rest, which does not mean whispering or occasionally talking.
Yeah, so that's why we've been off, and I don't even want to do this podcast, but Tiffany's like, I need a podcast. And we had planned on talking about this.
Which is bizarre, right?
So, yeah, so she's like, let's just do it. Let's just do a 15-minute podcast, which, so I guess I'll have the timer on because I don't want her to even talk. I send her texts like all the time saying, zip your mouth, no talking, shh, you know, all the emojis that have to do with don't talk.
Yes, that is true. She really did. And so I'll follow up at the end of the month and they'll reassess the hemorrhage. And he said if it's still large, that he would surgically repair it, which I don't know all the ins and outs of that. But if you don't surgically repair it, it said that it could cause permanent voice changes, which I don't mind about permanent voice changes. I'm not a singer. I mean, dear heavens, I can't sing a tune to save my life. But like, you know, I don't know what that's going to look like.
Yeah. I wouldn't want any of that to begin with. So what is this surgically repair it? What did he tell you what exactly he'd be doing?
He said, we'll talk about it after he looks again. And we were just hoping that it would get smaller. But no, I don't Google tons really about myself. And I had tried to look it up. And I know that the post-op situation is very similar. Like if you had your tonsils removed, you can't eat for a bit. You know, you start with liquids,
so popsicles,
food,
or stuff like
sore
that.
Sore throat and things of that nature. But I don't know for sure. I just figured I'd cross that bridge if I had to. But my biggest issue is I don't want general anesthesia. My lungs are crappy. I've not had general anesthesia for years. I did 3 foot surgeries awake with spinals. I had 2 C-sections with spinals. So I'm thinking, gosh, it's been a long time.
They'd have to, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
So we'll see.
Oh, so what's your favorite flavor popsicle?
Grape.
I was going to say, do not say cherry,
I
hate cherry too.
I hate cherry.
We're the same with that. Oh my gosh, we're finally similar in one aspect of our lives. Cherry.
No, anything flavored cherry is disgusting. I won't eat it. So
I agree.
So we'll see. So the vocal cord hemorrhage is different than the vocal cord dysfunction. So, I mean, obviously it's all dealing with my vocal cords, and I could have made the hemorrhage initially start because of strong coughing from asthma and maybe the vocal cord dysfunction. So it could be related, but now it's kind of causing a separate issue. Lovely.
Okay. So, you know, I don't research much. I just kind of fly by the seat of my pants, which is interesting enough. So I kind of looked this up and, There's 3 signs of vocal cord. The vocal cords can be damaged. Okay. You ready? 2 weeks of persistent hoarseness or vocal change, chronic vocal fatigue, and throat pain or discomfort. Do you have any of those?
Well, that would, I think they would call the trifecta.
Yes. Or the Bermuda Triangle.
And yes, I have them. All three of them. Absolutely. That was one of the biggest things. He was like, oh gosh, you have the trifecta, when we were discussing my symptoms. So the vocal cord dysfunction, from how they described it to me, it's just the abnormal, like, closing and opening of the cords. Like when you're breathing in and breathing out, the vocal cords open and close when they're supposed to. But if you have this dysfunction, then there's just varying degrees of obstruction because they're opening and closing on their own, like not how they're supposed to. So it's just, so they're all out of whack.
So they don't open up all the way when you breathe in.
Right.
That's from what I, okay. Yep. And it blocks your airway.
Correct.
So that's when you struggle to breathe.
Yes. Okay. And they also sometimes then don't close all the way either.
Mm-hmm.
And mine do both. They don't open all the way. They don't close all the way. Correct.
Okay.
And they scoped. So they did a scope to see that, which was really weird. Going down through my cords, you could see them. They would have me talk and watch when the cords would open and close, and they were doing it when they weren't supposed to. And then they put smells to my nose. And I guess if you smell certain smells, your vocal cords automatically do things. And mine didn't. Yeah, crazy. And mine didn't do that. So they're weak. The vocal cords are weak. They're thin. They vibrate. So I don't get high-pitched sounds, or, you know, my voice can't go really high, or it's really weak. So that was on the clinical side of it. I could see all of that, which was crazy. And then, of course, I could care less about any of this, but the symptoms of it are horrible. It also goes by paradoxical vocal cord motion, paradoxical vocal cord dysfunction. Refractory asthma is kind of in there, which is very interesting because that's a diagnosis I do have.
Talk about
the symptoms.
Talk about the symptoms a little bit.
Yeah, so back in the spring, I was having really horrible asthma. March is a bad month for me, so is October. So in March, I could not get well, and we kept doing... I did multiple rounds of steroids. I did antibiotics. I had multiple injections of steroids. So after all of that, it's like my asthma should have been better because I couldn't, you know, I had so many drugs on board. My oxygen saturations were good and my lungs were clear. So I'm like, okay, why do I feel like I'm suffocating? I couldn't breathe. So my pulmonologist was like, you're basically kind of in a panic mode here, and I think it's vocal cord stuff. So long story short, sent me down to OSU, did the scope immediately, and was diagnosed with that. But what happens was, like, I was trying to breathe in. So with asthma, it's hard to get air out, and I've known that my whole life. It's hard to get air out. With vocal cord dysfunction, it's hard to get air in. So very often, they go together. So I was not getting air in, and I was not getting air out. So I felt like I was suffocating or being strangled. So if I laid on the couch, I could kind of manage it. But if I would get up and do absolutely anything, I was so short of breath and so miserable that I could not function, like, at all. I couldn't do anything. Oh. And that lasted a month. It was.
Would oxygen help that? Like, if they gave you oxygen, I don't know how that affects it.
It's not really like a treatment plan,
from what
I can tell. So it's like, it is possible for a person to have the asthma with the vocal cord, which makes the diagnosis so difficult. And like 3-to-1 ratio, like a female, like 3-to-1 would be female would have that, based on, you know, whatever I've been learning here. And I guess that would be me. I mean, it's been awful.
So interesting. And like I was telling you before, they said that sometimes they misdiagnose this vocal cord dysfunction as asthma.
Yes, I could. Absolutely. It's a problem. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm on a vocal cord dysfunction group. People actually write, like, what symptoms do you have and what helps you? And if you read these symptoms, it's like wheezing, shortness of breath, coughing, feel like I need to clear my throat, and chest tightness. Well, to me, that's all my asthma symptoms. But for them, that's all their vocal mm-hmm. cord symptoms. They're like, they mimic exactly.
So I know, isn't like, that interesting?
Yeah, it's crazy. So now my issue here is going to have to figure out, is it an asthma attack? Is my asthma out of control? Or is it vocal cord? Or is it both together? Yeah, welcome to that. Yeah. That's not going to be easy. So I have my peaklometer at home that I breathe into every morning that can monitor how I'm doing. And if it stays fairly consistent, that should be asthma. If it's variable, that possibly leads more to the vocal cord is kind okay. of what I've been learning a little bit about myself. But it's crazy because I'm like, why did all this start happening? Like, why? Like, what? And I would say it's been a few years where you would notice a change in my voice when I was having an asthma problem. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would
notice that right away when I talk to you, like you're having an issue with asthma.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. So that's probably not, that could be my asthma because I don't have enough breath or strong enough breath to get through my vocal cords and my talking is weird. Or it could just be that my vocal cord dysfunction is flaring up and my talking is weird. So it could be either. So I'm like, all right, so why did it happen? And they said that if you have suffered from asthma for a very long time, which is me, and it's very, it's severe asthma. It's hard to control. If you suffer from that for a very long time, your breathing patterns change when you're in asthma attacks. And when your breathing patterns change, their wires get crossed in your brain. So now it's like the vocal cords are opening and closing when they're not supposed to because of the periods of time I've had asthma attacks and my breathing pattern has changed.
So this is the question. Are there exercises you could do for your breathing? Like I read the training or classes or whatever to learn how to exercise for this vocal cord dysfunction. But then you throw the asthma in on top of it too. Are they going to teach you how to breathe when this happens to calm yourself down? And to, it's probably a lot of it has to do with controlling your stress level.
That's part of it.
When this happens.
Yes. Yeah. So I will say as I've gotten older and my attacks have been a lot worse with the asthma, you know, asthma has created me to my oxygen to go down and my fingernails to be blue and really my it's really an asthma attack, but I feel like the vocal cord dysfunction is 100% correlating now that I know what it is. Like I feel like it's 100% correlating with the asthma. Mm-hmm. And it's like there's with vocal cord dysfunction, there's causes and triggers. Like you have different people have different triggers that make their vocal cords start to dysfunction. Like, mind you, I don't even know what my triggers are yet. I mean, it's so new to me that I'm like, I just feel like all my triggers are asthma triggers. Mm-hmm. I don't know the difference. So I'm just at the beginning process of trying to figure this out. But the attack with the shortness of breath and throat tightness and I can almost, so with the vocal cord, it's like a lump in your throat, choking, voice changes, difficulty swallowing. So it stays in my neck in the air coming in. It kind of stays in my neck where the asthma is in my chest. So like I've got to figure out, like, is it really hard getting air out and is it in my chest or is it hard getting air in and it's higher?
Okay, that's interesting.
And sometimes it's both. And I think it's been both for the last several asthma problems I've had. Yeah, so back to your question, right? What do you do?
Yeah.
So I've had, thanks to COVID, we've had some issues with scheduling and getting into the office. And I've only had one vocal cord. I guess it's speech therapy. Speech therapy, yeah. Right? So mm-hmm. I've had one speech therapy and they've taught me breathing exercises, which you guys know I'm a nurse midwife and I've taught Lamaze classes in my past. I'm a childbirth educator and teaching breathing in labor. So it just reminded me of that. You know, there are a lot of different breathing techniques that if you're really struggling, you just have to use those breathing techniques to get your cords to not be as, I keep saying dysfunctional, but that's the only word I can think of. So I have that in my back pocket, kind of. And I've only had one lesson, and that's it. And so I will go back and we'll do what's called a, like I get on a treadmill and they listen to me to see like an activity induced vocal cord thing.
Okay.
So we still have to do that. And then we will also like, then I'll learn more techniques, some more treatment. I don't know. I mean, there's treatment, but I'm just not to that step yet.
Oh, okay. So when you said that, it just, when I was reading about what brings us on, there's a couple things. So stress induced. Yeah. Uh-huh. So your vocal cords, they contract. Okay. Irritant induced. And that has to do with scents and fumes, pollutants, chemicals, and other things. Okay.
Right.
I mean, are there certain scents that bother you?
Well, yes. I mean, smoke for sure. Uh-huh. It's a cigarette smoke or even smoke like from a bonfire.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So smoke that before,
across, right. So smoke across the board. Some strong cleaning, like bleach. You know, some strong chemicals.
Okay. Yeah.
But nothing, not that I can think of like perfume wise or anything like that. But there are some, and I always thought, oh, I'm allergic to smoke. I'm having a reaction to the smoke because I have an allergy to it. Do I? I know, you know, it's just, it's a
right.
whole
it
bunch of
questions.
It could
have been your vocal cord. It could be the whole vocal cord thing all along. And you're thinking it's maybe your asthma, right?
Well, or I think it's both now. Mm-hmm. I do believe it was asthma.
Okay.
It's always been asthma. I was diagnosed with asthma at the age of 2. Like I always know that that's there, but I think now this could even sometimes be a bigger problem than the asthma, if that makes sense. And I do think they come hand in hand.
Yeah.
I do. And it says that it's an asthmatic mimic, which we talked about, and it can be misdiagnosed as asthma. It said one of the articles I read, it takes up to 4 years to actually get the correct diagnosis. It says diagnosis requires a high index of suspicion. And like if you suspect asthma suddenly or you attack wheezing, an attack of wheezing gets worse as the day goes on. You're not responding to steroids. It's provoked by exercise. The smells get you or stress, right? So all of those things you would suspect is this vocal cord. The only thing that I 100% was like, oh my gosh, I just did not respond to steroids my last really bad at all. Like I got better for a very brief period and then I got bad again. So that's why the doctor's like, this has to be vocal cord on top of it. And he was like, not a lot of people have both, but now you, I'm just going to put a gold star by your name.
Special.
Yeah. Which,
we knew that all along.
I don't want to be that at all, you know, but I think it can be exercise induced, spontaneous or persistent. So I've never had exercise induced respiratory problems. Maybe it's because I don't exercise a lot. No,
no, I don't. But you do.
But you know what I'm saying?
That can be like, just real anything. I mean, when you think about it, walking like up and down the stairs and stuff, it said that was like the third one that I have on my list, exercise induced. That the vocal cords move to the middle when you're breathing during high intensity exercise, and it makes it difficult to breathe.
Yeah, so you think of your vocal cords as a V, and it's like the letter V, and they shut. Like that's what's happening, and then you just can't get that air in. Yeah. I don't feel it with exercise.
Really? Well, that's probably good. That's good. The other one I have, laryngospasm. This is when the vocal cords seize or contract, when you lose your ability to speak and struggle to breathe. And this was interesting to me. This can be caused from GERD.
Okay, yes, you're right on
top
of it.
So acid reflux or environmental irritants and more. But I'm like, oh, wow.
So I've never thought I had acid reflux, but I talked to the doctor about it. I said, could I have silent reflux and just not know it? Could it be making it worse? And I don't know. So I'm trying right now Gaviscon after every meal that I eat. I'm taking Gaviscon and it kind of puts a layer over your stomach kind of so stuff doesn't get back up through the esophagus. We're trying it to see if
that's
could be,
if it could help.
if it could help. It's not going to hurt. I feel it's not as synthetic as some of the other drugs. It's like made out of seaweed. It's over the counter. It's not going to interfere with other medications that I take. So I feel like it's not too harmful. You know, it's mm-hmm. kind of harmless really. And then I'm seeing if it'll help, because why not? I could have silent GERD and not know it.
A lot of people do and don't know it.
Really? See, I never even thought about it. Like, I don't have heartburn, you know? I'm just like, I don't have heartburn, but...
Right. A lot of people have GERD and they don't know it. It is silent. You're right. Just because you don't have, like, that's when it's really bad.
You can actually... you feel the acid.
Yeah, the acid comes up. Burns. It burns, or you just... I mean, throw up in your mouth or whatever you want to call it. It's gross, but do you know what I'm saying? It comes up that bad.
Yeah.
That's when you know you have it really bad.
Well, so you're right. So we're giving it a try. And I have this chart, like what could be vocal cord and what is like the lower airway dysfunction, which is asthma. So you've got upper airway, which is vocal cord, and then lower, which is the asthma. And it's like, you know, the onset with the vocal cord is fast, and then asthma can be fast, but it's typically gradual. And I'm often, you know, I always say slippery slope. I don't realize I'm getting sick until I'm sick, because my asthma onsets are so darn gradual sometimes. So I'm like, okay, well, that's more asthma. And it's prolonged. Okay, well, that's asthma. Like, those are falling in the asthma. But then there's inhaled drugs are effective with asthma, and sometimes mine aren't, sometimes they aren't. And then they don't help with the vocal cord. So when you make a whistle with your voice, a stridor, like when I'm breathing in, if I whistle in my throat, which I do sometimes, that's vocal cord. The wheeze with asthma is more of an expiratory, you know, like it's a prolonged expiratory wheeze. So it's very intriguing. Intertwined. So breathing exercises will help both, you know, it'll help calm me down regardless. You don't want to add any anxiety onto asthma nor this vocal cord issue. So that's where I'll start. And I know they can see different things on pulmonary function tests, and obviously the laryngoscope that they put down, you know, my throat. So they've been able to figure it all out like how they need to. And mm-hmm. they're both there. And now I just have to figure out how to manage them with their help. That's kind of where I'm at.
All right. Well, this is a good conversation. I know you got a little bit of an uphill battle here, but I know you could do it. You're strong, and you've done much more than this along the way here. So
I just say, this is my sexy voice. Everyone's just going to have to get used to my sexy voice because it's getting lower and lower and deeper as I go here, but we'll see what happens.
If it stays this way, that's fine. We don't want to silence your voice. So you need to just not talk as much as possible. I know it's hard. You have children. This is a new definition to the silent treatment.
Yeah. They're like, don't scream, don't sing. I'm like, well, I don't scream, I don't sing. Like, I don't do those things already. So it has been a challenge. My kids came mm-hmm. home for virtual learning for 2 weeks. The school was shut down. So I'm like trying to be their teacher, but not talk a lot. And it's been difficult, but you know, we're doing what we can. I'm not screaming. I'm trying not to talk too much. So I'm trying.
Good. All right. Well, this has been educational for me, for sure, to kind of delve into this and read about it. Any way I can be there to help you out, I will. I will continue to send you my emojis, be quiet, zip it up, whatever.
It's a great reminder. It really, really is. I'm like, oh, yeah. I will end with a quote, so because I thought this was just super perfect.
Awesome.
So thank you for listening, and I'm just going to end with this, and then we'll see you next time. But it says, that is what all life is, breathing in and breathing out, the space between two breaths.
I love that. Very good. I won't say much more either. Everyone stay healthy, and until next time, take care.
We appreciate you spending this time with us and hope that you have enjoyed our podcast, The Autoimmune Mamas. Never forget that the disease does not define who you are. You are strong and you are amazing. This is Teresa and Tiffany signing off for now. Hope to see you next time. Have a great day.
The available podcast, Autoimmune Mamas, has been produced for entertainment purposes only. The contents of this podcast does not constitute medical or professional advice and does not create any type of professional relationship between the audience and the presenters.